Hello out there to all our friends. Coming to you from Los Angeles, this is Alan Lissauer and the host of the show, Helena.
Hi, Alan. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. This is a great day. The weather's nice in Los Angeles, and we've completed some very important work this week, which I would love to talk about.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So how was your week overall?
Overall, it was good. My leg is healed, which is important to me. I don't know other people out there with health problems, but mine is finally getting better, and I was able to go in the water, and you do know how I love swimming.
Oh, that's wonderful, right.
So that was great.
Yeah, because a lot of people are having medical and hardships out there, and hence they need your advice. Do you have anything interesting to tell us for this week?
Well, I do. I mean, there's been some, each week we face challenges, and we look at challenges as opportunities, and we like to share that with people, to always look at a challenge as an opportunity. And some of the challenges we had was with, this week, was with the Bank of America having turned down one of our clients, and we needed to appeal the case. What happened was we were able to successfully appeal this case because the Bank of America had put in the correct numbers, and we find that often is the case. They'll turn someone down because they don't put the correct numbers into the formula.
So what exactly are you talking about, Alan, when you say the incorrect numbers? Can you clarify for the listeners out there?
Yes. Some of the incorrect numbers, yeah, the key numbers are the debts.
Are you talking about loan modifications?
Talking about loan modifications, and thank you for clarifying that. It's much appreciated. I know you're very technical. Okay, so I am talking about a loan modification to start out with. And the loan modification in this case was for a loan of over $1 million given to a homeowner. It was one of those option-on loans that we talked about last week. Remember that?
Right.
You know, where they had this payment that was just adding and adding to their principal balance. And for those of you out there who don't know, these were supposed to be corrected according to an agreement with the Attorney General of the State of California. Well, they turned these people down, and they said that their numbers or the income was too high. The income wasn't too high. We had a request in writing, copies of everything that they had put through. And when it came back, we saw that they had not used the correct figures.
Who is we exactly?
I say we, including myself and our excellent staff. Are you familiar with our excellent staff?
Are you referring to Advanced Economic Strategies?
I am.
Okay.
A great staff of people who have been doing this for 4 years, who have been trained, highly skilled people who know how to appeal cases when they are turned down. And then we overcame this challenge, which is very exciting because we needed to help this person. Even though they had $1 million loan, it was just, you know, to them, that was their house. And just few people out there who do have large loans know that there is hope. It doesn't have to be a small loan for us to be able to do it.
So what do you think about the current interest rate, the record low mortgage interest rate, according to the weekly survey by Freddie Mac, of 3.49%? Does that seem accurate?
It does seem accurate, and I think it's fabulous that interest rates are down. But we have to understand what that really means. That is the Freddie Mac rate if you qualify. And in order to qualify, you have this certain criteria that are necessary. And unfortunately, many people don't qualify for that rate. So let's say you're buying a new house, okay, and you want to get that rate. You have to have very good credit. You have to have tax returns for the last 2 years supporting what you're doing. And if you do have that, then you can qualify for that rate. I think it's a great rate. I'm not sure what it really does for the current homeowner who is cannot refinance due to a number of issues.
So what do you say to people who cannot refinance and are paying interest rates 4, 5, 6, even 7% on mortgages? And I know that you work with a number of people, so what's the lowest mortgage? First question, what's the lowest amount in a principal mortgage have you worked with before?
The lowest amount of the principal mortgage or the lowest rate we can get?
No, how much is the lowest amount that you've worked with?
Oh, we've worked with people who had $80,000 loans.
And then as high as?
$1.8 million.
Okay. And you've helped to change their interest rates?
In every case, that's correct.
Okay. And you normally, on average, lower it to what percent?
Normally, it's a 2% for at least the first 5 years.
So that's lower than the 3.49.
That's correct. Now, after 5 or 6 years, it will go back to 3.49. It'll go there.
So it amortizes up to the fixed rate?
Yes, and it will stay fixed there.
And that's principal and interest?
That is a principal and interest payment. So if you're at 5, 6, 7%, the first 5 years is great at 2%, but it's never going to go higher at this point than the 3.49.
And that's what you do at your company and the website to look up your company so the consumers out there are aware is financialsanitynow.com.
Right. The idea is go to financialsanitynow.com to get more information. And can I say hello to all our listeners in Alaska? It seems we have some following out in Alaska.
That's wonderful. And what would make you say that?
Well, two things. One, I just visited there, so I want to say hello to everyone. I was in Ketchikan, and I was in Juneau as well. And you have a beautiful state. It was wonderful to visit. And recently, a couple of people have purchased our book in Alaska. They purchased our electronic book from the website because, even in Alaska, there are problems with housing. And I just want to thank them and say for all any of the listeners up there, we're available to you by email, by telephone.
And how can they contact you by email? Is that the Allen at AES for Advanced Economic Strategies 77.com?
Yes.
And as far as your book, how do we locate that?
Okay, there's two ways. One, I'd say just simply go to the website. Another way is go to our Facebook page. If you go to our Facebook page, financialsanitynow.com, there will be a link that takes you to the book.
Okay, and they can like the Facebook link, and that will lead them to all the information that you provide.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And this book will give you so much information and charts and worksheets. So you can start to understand the process that it takes to go through it. You may need help. You may not need help. But if you, I know one lady in Alaska, she both needed the book, but she also needed some additional consultation.
That's wonderful. Well, I'm glad you're able to help her. So speaking of Freddie Mac and surveys, tell me a little bit about Freddie Mac as an investor, and how particular are they?
No, they are particular. I don't know most people understand Freddie Mac or Fannie Mae. They originally started out as private companies. I want to say quasi-private because they were funded by the government to buy. They were called a secondary buyer of loans. So if a bank had a loan, they could sell it to Fannie or Freddie, as we fondly call them, receive the money, then have more money to lend out for more loans. So they were the people who backed up the majority of loans, even during the housing crisis.
Hence why they needed the bailout.
They now not only have a bailout, but they're primarily owned by us, the taxpayers.
And so they should be helping more of the taxpayers to modify or to change their interest rate to stay inside of their home.
They should be. They should be. I cannot say they always do. They're kind of strict with their guidelines, but we have had success, and they have gone ahead and modified. Now, there is some questions regarding DOJ. Are you familiar with that? Okay, that's Department of Justice program regarding
About that last week.
Regarding principal reductions, where Fannie and Freddie have not yet participated, and we're hopeful that there'll be some political pressure for them to do that.
Now, I mean, tell me if I'm incorrect, but I heard that there was some horror stories that if the loan modification or the new refinance is drawn up in the wrong ink color, it can get rejected by these large investors. I mean, these are just horror stories. Please tell me they're rumors.
No, well, they're not really rumors. And the you know, legally, most things are supposed to be in black ink. It's an old tradition, probably a little older than you are, where all documents needed to be in black ink. So certainly blue ink should be okay, and I haven't seen any rejected in blue ink, but I would recommend people do not use other colorings. It is a little disturbing to the eye. And so why they're rejected for that, I think that's a small percentage of cases. I know when we help people, we do make sure that it is in blue or black ink.
And for the consumers out there that want to get actively involved, there's ways that they can check to see if their loan is owned by Freddie or Fannie, their mortgages, and they can call up their bank, or they can go online and check it online with either one of their websites, simply typing your address to check to see if one of these large lenders own your home.
Yes.
Because just because the bank is servicing your mortgage does not mean they actually own it. There was one case I heard of last week, a girlfriend of mine, she has a modification, well, she has a home mortgage through Chase, but she recently found out that Bank of America was her actual investor. How common is this?
It's unfortunately way too common, because when it's a different investor and a different bank, there's two sets of hurdles to go through, and I think I'm aware of the fact that sometimes the investor doesn't approve what the servicer does, or vice versa.
And why do you think that is? Is there a particular reason that you're aware of as to why the investor wouldn't approve what the servicer drew up? Would you blame it on internal problems?
I would say that when these loans, it's about the derivation of the loan to begin with. When the loan was made, depending on the kind of a loan, and you tell me how deeply you want to go into that aspect, it was then sold to various investors. Now, it could have been sold to Bank of America, but the underlying investor for Bank of America could have been the California Pension Fund. And the California Pension Fund may only have been willing to buy, and they didn't buy one loan. These were packaged in hundreds of millions of dollars together. They wouldn't be willing to buy it if there were covenants, rules that allowed the interest rates to go down. Now, many of these covenants do allow interest rates to go down in case of default or in case of problems. Some don't. And it is our job, when those things come up, is to delve deeply into the covenants and the rules and regulations surrounding them so we can get agreement with the investor. Those are more complex cases, and I really think anyone who's tackling it needs professional help.
Right, right.
I'm sorry it sounds so complicated in a way it is.
So in order to seek the professional help, do you have a telephone number you'd like to provide, or do you want me to provide it? The 866-753-4028, and that's for your company, Allen Advanced Economic Strategies, or they can locate you at www.financialsanitynow. Nice. And you help so many people per month, per year. You've been doing this for, let me confirm, is that 4 years now?
It is. It's 4 years.
And just so the consumers out there who haven't listened to the show before are aware, how did you start to help people lower their interest rates on their mortgages, their first, their second, their credit cards, settling out large debts? Where did you begin?
That's an interesting question. I appreciate it asking that, because it's not something I think that you wind up doing or picking as a career choice. Although I'm educated in finance and other aspects of business, and I was involved in real estate, putting together larger deals, it wasn't until I had a bad accident and I was the owner of several properties.
What type of accident are you talking about?
I was hit by a car as a pedestrian. And when I was hit, I was in a wheelchair for quite a while. And it was fairly hard to deal with properties, thanks to certain people who helped me through that, or I'm forever indebted. I was able to short sell some of the homes. I was able to work through a modification. Now, it coincided with the crash. My crash coincided with the real estate crash. And at that point, I needed to modify my primary residence. And as I worked through this and was successful, other people came to me and went, "Really? Can you really do that?" Because this is before there were any formal programs. And I said, "Yes, I can. Let me look at your set of circumstances." And I remember the first one I did for a friend, and it was, again, it was with a major bank, Wells Fargo, and it was quite successful. And he referred people, and they referred people, and it went on, and it goes like that to this day. So it was very much a referral business coming about through adversity. Came from adversity, and was able to turn adversity into something that eventually helped a lot of people. Thankfully, today I can walk, and I appreciate that. I'm thankful to God for that.
That's wonderful. That's a wonderful success story, Alan. Thank you so much for sharing it with us. Thank you for inspiring us with your story and for continuing to battle for the consumers of America, because God knows we need it. And I read on your website, actually, yesterday, that one of your former clients was a veteran who lived on Pierce College campus, and he had a sale date 1 week ago, and he asked if you could possibly postpone the sale date and get him a new lower and affordable payment. And then 3 days later, the sale date was postponed, and he is now living safely inside of his home with his family. So how many struggling veterans are there out there? Because according to a report by CNN Money, it says many working veterans can't afford housing.
Well, I don't know the exact number, because we deal, you know, we're small. I mean, we try to help people, but we're small. And we do have a percentage of people who are veterans. Actually, I'm a veteran, but not of this current war. And We of course, we try to help veterans. You know, we're very proud of them, and we think the banks should be treating them with dignity and respect. Some of them are suffering right now. They're suffering with post-traumatic stress, and there's a lot of unemployment among previous military members. So
yeah, I heard it's about 30% in 18 to 24-year-old veterans.
It is. Now, most of those people, I would tell you, though, are not homeowners. They need help, but they're not homeowners. The ones who are homeowners usually are the people who are a little older veterans. And, yes, we have some of them, and we do seek to give them as much attention as we can. But honestly, we give everyone the same attention.
Wow.
You know, we really do.
And are there any other working men or working women, people who are working for our country that you've helped in particular? Do you have any stories you could share with the listeners out there?
We do. In Los Angeles, we have had cutbacks for firefighters and police.
Oh, the brownouts. The brownouts where they shut down the fire station, they rotate them.
Yeah.
One station is shut down once a week or whatnot, and they rotated around. I heard they were hit really hard. 40% of their income was reduced.
That's correct. And during that time, their mortgages were higher than they could afford. So we helped many firefighters. And then we're very proud of it. We're proud of them, and we're happy we could do it. We've also helped several police officers who are homeowners to achieve, stay in their homes. You know, this is an equal opportunity problem for people. There are people who are firefighters and police officers and veterans and former writers. We even had some former actors who we've helped. You know, this is Hollywood after all. And we had two producers who just, at the moment are not working, who are working very little. And, it really runs the gamut, the types of people. There are a lot of divorced people, unfortunately, women who have had a problem with, divorce. And they're in the home, and they can't afford it. So what I wanted to say, in this changing economy, the expectation is that a lot of people now are self-employed. And let me talk about self-employment. When you spoke earlier about Fannie and Freddie and how you get that rate. Well, again, that's a new home. We're not talking about someone who already owns a home. But if you're self-employed, it is way different than if you're a W-2. If you're a W-2 for 2 years and you meet the criteria, that's one thing. But if you're self-employed and you can't produce tax returns showing that kind of income, you're not going to get a loan, period.
But what about fixing their current loan? Have you helped people who are self-employed who are not showing what they needed to show to qualify in the last 2 years?
Yes. I mean, we can work through as long as they are making the money and they have a profit and loss. So a profit and loss is something that is accepted into the system for a modification, which we're happy about and we're grateful for, but it's not accepted so much into a regular loan.
Right.
So, yeah, that's a good point.
But at Advanced Economic Strategies in your company, you have helped people who are self-employed.
Absolutely. If I would say most of our people are self-employed. You know, there's a very, very large statistic of self-employed people, people who have small businesses. Most of the new jobs are generated by self-employed people, people that have not even more than one employee even. You know, they're just out there. I mean, we have people who work for Airborne. They do multi-level marketing. We have people who are hypnotists. We have people who, there are various occupations. Act like I told you, actors, but they're not always working. They're not the sitcom actors making $40,000 an episode.
In certain cases, I know you were telling me last week off air that people have had to almost band together. Relatives have had to move back into homes to be able to afford the mortgage. And what have you heard of contribution letters or people contributing to the mortgage? Does the bank accept that?
They do, but it's become a little stricter. Before, they might accept that it's a contribution from a relative, but now if the person does not live there, they won't accept it as contribution. You must have that as your address. And that does make it more difficult. You could be receiving a gift from a relative, but it's not good unless they're living in the house. And that is a policy that...
And how do people prove that somebody's living in the house?
They have to live there. They have to get their mail there. They have to file their taxes there. They have to be in the house.
But there's different ways around it, is what you're saying.
No, I'm saying there's no way around it. You have to prove it.
Okay. And that's usually proven by a utility bill.
A utility bill and
the minimal
taxes
the minimal.
And where you get your mail. That's where you live.
Well, I don't think it's the worst idea for people to band together and to, you know, actually be able to function healthy, you know, healthily in a good, in a strong environment, just to be able to pay the bills.
Well, I think you're right. It's important that they do band together, but, you know, it's unfortunately, it's a lot of people trying to start families when they have to move back with their parents into their parents' house where they lived when they were younger. It's not awful, but, you know, it doesn't let them go out and help the economy by buying a home and buying furniture and starting a family. I mean, that is the lifeblood of our economy.
Right.
People growing, people starting families.
I agree.
And it's been hurt by this.
So what is your opinion? Sorry to change the subject. But,
all right.
What is your opinion on these private investors? Just to go back to that for a minute. Do you have any opinion on what people can do, you know, to find out who their investor is? How do you do that?
If you're going to do it on your own, I would start with the loan documents that you received originally when you bought the home. Take a look at them. See what it says. And in many cases, it will say somewhere who the investor is. Now, in many cases, it will not. And you must write to your services saying, I want to know the investor. Getting the investor, though, is only step one. Step two is, once you get the investor, you need to find out what were the terms of that investment vehicle. Do you know what I mean by investment vehicle?
No.
Okay. So let's say you're a part of 1,000 loans that were sold to Bank of America. That is called a mortgage-backed security. So we need to find out not only who the investor is, which could be Deutsche Bank, but
they're in Germany.
They're in Germany, but they have offices here. And what does that mortgage-backed security say about those loans? Remember, when they were sold to the bank, these investors were told that these were grade AAA paper. So they're not feeling great about what's happened either. They're getting hurt. They bought these notes. And, you know, I mean, an investor is an investor. Everyone who invests would like to get a return on their money. I think we all understand that. So they have written in to the covenants of the investment vehicle, which I just explained what an investment vehicle is, what can and cannot be done. Now, those things can also be changed, because let's be pragmatic. If there's failures going on within that vehicle, that investment vehicle, if there are mortgages not being met, then they're not making any money on those. Does it make more sense to lower the interest so that those will be performing notes? And this is where we come in and work to try to say to the bank, let's have a win-win-win.
Right. So your company, Advanced Economic Strategies, draws up proposals.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That makes sense. So what do you say to the consumers that were previously denied and who have gone through a hard time themselves, and they keep on being told that they're never going to qualify to short sell the home? What do you suggest?
Well,
they call you first?
Yes, they definitely should, because I think at that point they need at least some coaching, you know, even a pep talk. And anyone out there, let me give you a pep talk right now.
Speaking of pep talks, it's almost 4:30 and it's time for your weekly tips.
Oh, okay. So, some of the weekly tips we have here, and I'd say everyone just jot this down, but if you don't hear it now and you want to replay this, this will be available on the BBS Radio website, and it will also be available on the Financial Sanity Now website. So you can always replay it or have it sent to your friends or listen to it with your friends or have it during coffee or bagels, whatever you like to do. One of the tips we have today is know who your investor is. Okay, like I said, that sounds easy. It's not. You must write to the bank asking for your investor. They may not reply overnight. And so 7 days or 14 days, you must be persistent. With the banks, I'm going to say this, be persistent.
Would you suggest certifying letters in?
I would suggest certifying letters. I suggest follow-up calls. I suggest understanding that you're dealing with 9-to-5 people. It's the summer. Comes 5 o'clock, oh, bam, they're out the door. And unless you are the squeaky wheel, you will not get what you want.
The information that's needed.
That's all you want now is information. But additionally, once you get the investor information, remember, we need to know what investment vehicle that is attached to. Now, that should be with the investor information. In other words, it would say it's owned by Deutsche Bank, investment vehicle 34-56, issued 12/17/2008. And that information then is available to be researched. Okay? Again, sounds a little complex. You may want to hire a professional in your area to do this research for you.
Can your company provide that?
We can, and we also have a forensic expert who works on these and will send you out a report.
Wow.
They'll do a full report on securitization and a full report on your loan. So, I mean, you can get all that information. I will tell you this, information is step one. That's step one. But once you get that information, you'll know what type of assistance can be provided. Now, this is not an all loan, so you have to go to this degree, just so you know. This is a weekly tip. This is a tip for those of you that have investors owning the loans and you've had problems. Okay? So, what type of assistance can they provide? For example, what types of loan mod programs do they participate in? Does the servicer, are they part of MHA or HAMP?
Okay. And so there's different types of loan modification programs out there. And what you're basically telling people is that their investor can be different than their servicer. So just because you think you're paying, just because you're paying your mortgage towards Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Bank of New York, Flagstar, different lenders, Citibank included, each month does not mean that they are the investors, and it's important to know who your investor is to find out what type of assistance you can be provided in order to receive these lower interest rates and potentially save you hundreds or thousands of dollars, whether or not it be per month or over the 30-year span of the new loan.
That is correct.
Okay.
That's very correct.
On average, would you say you save people over $100,000 by the end of the loan modification in interest only when you lower their payment? What are the stats on that?
The stats are very clear. For every point you drop, if you have a $500,000 loan, for every point you drop, you'll save $100,000 over the life of the loan. I can show you an amortization chart. You want me to show that to you now? No? Okay. We can explain this more if someone calls how loans amortize over time, so that a 2% loan versus a 5% loan on a $500,000 loan will save you about $300,000 in interest alone. Does that help?
Wow. That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
People can be putting that into a savings for the just-in-case fund, the medical fund, or even the travel fund, which a lot of people here in America are really suffering because we don't travel as much as people in Europe, even though they are going through their own economic crisis, they still take time to go on vacation.
That's true.
And therefore, I mean, the stress level is, I could only imagine,
right.
Significantly different.
They're less grumpy. They do go on vacations more often. I'd like to see Americans have a little more time for that.
So that was the first weekly tip. Do you have any others for us?
I sure do. I think you need to always ask what type of loan you have. And then we, well, let's go into these loan types. One loan that we have is that option ARM loan. Now, we have talked about it before, so those of you that heard it before, you go get a sandwich. But if you haven't, let me explain again. Option ARM loans had three payments. The lowest payment was interest only, but at an interest rate below what the loan was given to you for. So if the loan was given to you at 7%, they made you pay 2%. So that's all you had to pay, but the differential was added to your principal balance. The second option was only interest. You could pay the actual interest rate, which was fairly high, 6 or 7%. And the third option, which no one really took, was principal and interest, because it's a very high interest rate. These loans were given to people to sell them higher-priced homes. So a person could afford $1 million house on an option ARM loan. Nah, not so fast. When that thing came due in 3 or 5 years, they could no longer afford it. And that's one of the reasons we've had this crash.
Wow.
Another type of loan was ARMs, adjustable rate mortgage. Here's the problem. Let me give you an adjustable rate mortgage for 7 years, interest only. I'll keep it at 6% for that time. At the end of that, it will go into whatever the current interest rate is, which right now is low. It's being kept low by the Federal Reserve. Now we will start to amortize your loan. For those of you that don't know that word, you should if you have a mortgage. I hate to use the word should, but it is important. The balance of the loan must be paid off during that 23 years after the 7-year period at the current interest rate. So now you have to pay principal and interest, and you have to do it over 23 years, not 30, not 40. This very much lends to quite a high payment. The third kind of a loan was a conventional loan, principal and interest. Unfortunately, some of those rates were fairly high, so we do work with those loans also. But just so our viewers understand, and I say viewers, listeners, when those loans were sold, the mortgage brokers were paid 3 points to sell an option ARM loan. 3 points. So if that was a $400,000 loan, they received $12,000. If it was an ARM loan for the same loan, they received 8. And if it was a regular loan, they received 4. The companies incentivized their salespeople to sell the most risky loans. And to me, when you go back on it, when you incentivize to sell loans that are going to fail, greedy.
Wow.
Greedy, or
really tough on our economy.
Well, it's proven to be.
Thank God for you,
Alan.
It's
proven to be.
Thank God for advanced economic strategies.
Well, thank you very much for saying that, but we're just a little bubble here. You know, I wish we could do more, but we will. We will. So always ask for the type of loan you have. We talked about the different types of loans that are happening, and some of which are being fixed and without going illegal. Okay. There is a radio host that we've dealt with. We never use names because we don't like to. And I just want to say that she did have a loan that was not kosher. Okay, there were real problems with it, and we were able to work with the bank because of that and save her $700 a month. And we want to wish her well and hope that this is really helping her. She just recently had her son accepted to a university, so she needs all the money she can get.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of bills out there, especially if you have children and you're trying to do what's right. College education is going up, and
well,
I just heard we took a lot of money out of the universities and the community colleges and the private universities. to build a bullet point train. I think we went over that last week.
You know, I think we should repeat it. That bullet train, I don't understand it. I'm one person, but why would we take this money to build a train? How many people are going to get on the train from Los Angeles and go to Fresno? Or go to the Central Valley, or even go to San Francisco. You can get on a plane. You can be there in, you know, an hour and a half, an hour. On a train, it's going to take you 3 or 4 hours. There's going to be stops along the way. What exactly is the rationale for building a train? We have cars. We have airlines. We're talking about how much was it? $50 billion? $20 billion? I mean, it's way expensive.
The exact numbers, but the fact that we are taking away money from education and putting it into a bullet train is kind of preposterous. But let's go on. I know that I see one other weekly tip on here, but it's regarding credit cards.
Right. My other weekly tip is about credit cards. First of all, pay on time. These late charges are horrendous. They're usually about $39. And when you pay late, they up your interest rate. So please pay on time. Okay? We don't want to spike the interest rate. Okay? What we want to do is pay it on time, but then talk to us at Advanced Economic Strategies. We have a way to work with your credit card companies to get your interest rates down to 0 to 2% as long as you're willing to pay on time and you're willing to pay these credit cards off. If credit cards are a burden, I mean, you've just reached the point where all you're doing is paying every month to pay every month. There's no money left in the card. You're just paying it off and you say, well, I have to have a credit card because when I travel, when I rent the car. I understand that. Keep one credit card for that purpose and do pay it off. But the rest of them, let us talk to us about how we can pay them off for you. You know, this is a real win for the banks. It's a win for you. It does not hurt your credit. And it does not have any tax consequence because you are paying it off in full. You're not going to get a 1099. By the way, I would like to add one tip to your... May I add 2 tips?
Go ahead.
I'm just saying, I know you're my producer, and because of that, you know, I want to just mention 2 other tips. The 4th tip is the idea that the Tax Forgiveness Act is ending at the end of 2012. So if you're going to settle a second mortgage and it's not done before the end of 2012, you could be facing a 1099 from the bank, which is a tax consequence. So
when you say settle, you're talking about what, second mortgages, large debt?
Lines of credit, second mortgages, things attached to your home. Not other debts, because those you will get a 1099-C anyway. And again, you can speak to your accountant and see what's worth it, whether settling is worth it. But up until the end of this year, you are able to have tax forgiveness on settlements regarding homes. Okay? So does that sound clear?
That's a great tip.
And the 5th tip is it is now possible to modify investment properties. This was not possible just a month or two ago. Have an investment property. It is possible to modify it. A little complex, but it is allowed through the hand.
That's wonderful.
Okay.
And so when you say investment property, you mean properties that are not owner-occupied but are actually rented out.
That is correct.
And people can receive assistance on these types of homes.
Right. That's right.
Okay. That's great.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. So tell me what you know about HAMP, the government program that's being spread out throughout a lot of servicers, a lot of banks, How far can they stretch your mortgage, your new mortgage, out until?
They can stretch it up to 40 years, which really brings the payment low.
Wow.
So that's quite good. And also through DOJ, which is Department of Justice Settlement, you can get principal reduction. But that depends how far underwater you are. I'd say you need not just a snorkel, a wetsuit. You have to be at least 20% underwater to be able to get that. We did have a really, really nice success story with that just this week with a gentleman who I believe he was $324,000 off his principal. Now, he did have a high principal. It was over $800.
Wow.
And he did have a sick child, but still, I mean, this is a wonderful thing that his house now is worth what he owes on it. And I do want to commend the banks for being cooperative on that.
And was he a W-2 or was he self-employed?
He was a self-employed person.
Wow. So you do have a lot of success stories with him. And if you don't mind me asking, how delinquent was he?
He was a very delinquent. 2.5 years, he was
wow.
not able to pay his bills, and a lot of that was due to sickness in the family.
I'm so sorry to hear that, but I wish I could live without paying my mortgage for 2.5 years
well,
and then get a $300,000 principal reduction. Sounds like an unreal miracle.
Well, it is an unreal miracle, and we definitely do not recommend people to do that. We do not recommend.
But there are people out there who have already done it and who are in the process and who need your help.
That's fine, but if we're looking, if we're going to help people, we want them to be sincere about the help, not trying to just stay in a house.
What about
and not pay, because we don't believe in that. We believe in being fair
right,
to the
course,
to the banks as well as to the consumer. And so we do want people to pay, and we want people to be able to get an affordable loan, and we think that's important.
Have you gotten a principal reduction outside of the DOJ program? Has your company, Financial Sanity Now, or Advanced Economic Strategies, formerly known, received a principal reduction for anybody else?
Yes, we've had some of those. They're becoming somewhat more frequent. We've also had what's known as a balloon payment in order to make the payments lower, where if it's a large loan, the bank will balloon, say, $300,000 or $400,000 and have it come due in 25 years or 30 years.
That's
and only
usually if the home is underwater. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. So they have to be underwater to qualify for those type of programs.
Okay. That makes sense.
You know, it's in the bank's interest to do these things. We sometimes are baffled why things that are in the bank's interest to do, they don't do. I mean, that's more confusing, because helping people have equity in their homes, helping people have a payment they can afford is in everyone's interest.
That's wonderful. And so it looks like it's about that time for your weekly bash on the bank. Which bank would you say, out of all the large lenders, has taken the cake as far as how uncooperative they can be?
We're going to have to put a bunch of candles on the cake this week and hand it right off to Wells Fargo. And we do it because they are not allowing very needy homeowners to remodify after their first attempt. It's just awful. We have a case of people with two very sick children that received an interest-only modification from Wells Fargo 4 years ago.
An interest-only modification?
Right.
I've never even heard of that. How is that even legal?
You know, it just was given to them. I can't tell you it's legal, it's illegal. They did get their payment reduced somewhat. They were put back on interest-only. In another year, it's going to expire. They're going to be back to their original rate. They have two children. I don't want to say how sick. Well, I will say they're both, unfortunately, mentally unable to cope with the world, both children. They never will be able to cope with the world. they're 20 years old and they have the equivalency of 4 year olds, and it is heartbreaking. And when I spoke to these people, I originally met them, my heart went out to them. It's just too hard. And they also have Tourette's syndrome, so that they scream out in the night, and they cannot be in an apartment. They cannot be close to other people. So they bought this particular house so that they would be able to have a little space between their home and other people's home. And you know, if the bank, in this case Wells Fargo, doesn't help by allowing them to remodify, and there's close to 5%, into a fixed loan at a proper rate, then I'm afraid for them.
They were handed an interest only loan. And what about the programs now, like MHA, HAMP, traditional modifications through other lenders, in-house modifications? Are interest only loan modifications still being handed out, as far as you're concerned?
You know, I've seen it in several cases that they actually modify someone back into an interest only. They say, well, that's all the investor will allow, and we're fighting these tooth and nail, because these are, you know, all we're doing is setting people up to fail. They'll pay interest only for another 2 or 3 years. It'll reset. What'll happen then? Okay, yes. Are we going to have low interest rates forever? I don't know how old the audience is out there, but I think a lot of you remember the 70s and 80s when interest rates skyrocketed up to 20% if you were going to buy a house. Certainly we all remember 7, 8, and 9%. Well, unfortunately, with the size of these loans, if they went to 7, 8, or 9%, we're going to see a whole new wave of foreclosures. And I don't want to use statistics when I talk about foreclosures, because that's been in the papers a lot recently. Oh, foreclosures are down, foreclosures. Okay.
Emmanuel.
Hello.
Okay.
Hello, Emmanuel. Hello? Emmanuel, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, Emmanuel.
Hi.
Do you have a question for us?
Yes.
What is it?
If you have money in a bank account and someone comes and takes it out and you know who it is, what's the best way to go and confront them?
How did they take it out?
Well, it's just a family member.
Did they have legal access to the account?
Yes, because it was I helped them get it, and it was part mine, part theirs.
It was a joint account.
Yes.
Okay. Unfortunately, with joint accounts, it's not the bank's responsibility if they take the money out. So you will have to pretty much go after them in a civil lawsuit. What state are you in?
Georgia.
Okay, you're going to have to consult your, how much money was it?
About $500.
All right, I think you're going to have to go to your local small claims court and sue them for that amount. that's the only way you're going to recover the money.
Okay.
Unfortunately, do not open joint accounts with people.
Okay.
All right?
Good luck to you.
Thanks, Emmanuel.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, do we still have a little time left?
I think we do. I think we'll end it on a good note. Who have you helped this week? I heard you had a success story. You were talking to me a little bit earlier about a gentleman that you helped through U.S. Bank.
Yeah, there was a gentleman with the U.S. Bank. Actually, he works for another bank. He'd been trying to qualify for MHA, which is Making Homes Affordable, and they had, when we met him, they had put his house up for sale. They told him, no, you don't qualify. We're putting your house up for sale. You know, I looked at the paperwork, and I went over it with him, and I saw that there were errors in what he had done. And we called the bank, and I will tell you today that he's done. He's finished. 3 weeks. 2 weeks later, he's done.
You mean you modified him?
He's modified.
He does not have a sale date.
No sale date. In fact, he has a trial modification, and the trial will lead to a full modification of savings of over $650 a month, which is about 30% reduction in his payments, and it's fixed.
Wow, that's fixed incredible. Loan.
So he's happy. He's happy. And that's what makes us happy. That's what keeps us going.
That's wonderful. So if anybody has any additional questions out there and you didn't get to talk to us while we're online, you could call 866-753-4028. Once again, that's area code 866-753-4028. And then if you'd like to email Alan personally, his email is alan@aes77.com. That's Alan at Advanced Economic Strategies, AES77.com. You could visit his website, www.financialsanity.com. We will be here airing on BBS every Thursday, 4 to 5 Pacific Standard Time. And if they have any additional questions, they can also like your Facebook page. Is that correct, Alan?
That's right. They can like it, and they can put a message on there as well. And we do get back to people within 48 hours, except on the weekends. We do need a little time off.
Well, that's for everybody's sanity, not just
right.
for financial sanity.
Right, but we will get back to you. No question goes unanswered. And again, I do want to encourage people who have questions that they want to read the book and really get to know the ins and outs of what's going on with modifications. And with credit cards, we deal with credit cards. We deal with short sales in this book. We can't work on short sales outside the state of California, but certainly we can let you know what a short sale is. I think people are a little confused about what it really is. So,
but that's not your primary focus. Your primary focus is to help save people's homes from foreclosure or save it from a potential foreclosure, lower their interest rate, get some money into savings, and
yes,
help the consumers
that
of America.
That is. So I want to say goodbye to everyone in every state in the union. God bless America, and thank you for listening.
Farewell.